Father God, Lord, we are just grateful, Lord, this morning, Father, to be able to come together again, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, that we can go anywhere, Father, in this world according to the leading of Your Spirit, Father. And wherever we go, Lord, whatever we experience, that You're there and You're with us, Father, in and through all things. And so, Lord, this morning, Father God, we acknowledge openly, Lord, that You are the one that protects and leads and guides us, Father, that keeps Your people. Lord, we're grateful, Father, for the hope that we have in You. Lord, we're grateful, Lord God, for everything, Lord, that we have in Jesus, because You are everything to us, Lord God. And so, Lord, this day, Father, right now, we just bind every demonic spirit, every work of the enemy, Lord God, every hindering assignment of the devil. In Jesus' name, we break it and we cast it out. And, Father, we just continue to proclaim, Lord, the free flow of Your Spirit in and through us, Lord, acknowledging openly, Father, that it's only Your Spirit that's good and to Your Spirit that we yield, Father. And, Lord, as we go forward, Father, I acknowledge that in myself. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that the word that comes forward would be Your word, Your rhema, Father, for this day, Lord God, unto Your people. And Lord God, I yield and I receive from Your Spirit as well, Lord, the refreshing that I need this day, Father, because Lord, Your word is life. And Lord, we just thank You, Father, for truth. And we desire truth in the inner parts. So Lord, as we go forward, Lord God, we pray that You'd be with us and lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, Nelson made a good point, a good reminder for us. You know, they called this area, after the tsunami, they called this area Miracle Beach overseas. Because people that were further south and people that were further north died, but no one during the time of what happened here actually died in this spot, in this area. So in the place where we are here, there was no lives lost. Yes, people lost homes. Yes, people lost their livelihoods, and they lost all kinds of things because the effects of the tsunami came, but no one lost their life in this place. And you think about the chaos of that time and the water coming in and how many old people, how many children and people fishing people out and grabbing them and all of the chaos of an experience like that, to not lose life in the area where we are is an absolute miracle. So it's good to remember, because see, I think one thing that happens is you can get so caught up in life, and as life is happening even around us all the time, it's easy for us to forget, amidst the situations we're in, what God has already brought us through. That happened with the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness, and while they were in the wilderness, they started grumbling against God, and they forgot all of the miracles that had taken place in Egypt, all of the Red Sea parting, all of these different things. They had forgotten how God had just taken care of them. So we remember, and it's good that we remind each other too, because sometimes when we're in a situation, God is in control. Or something my dad told me recently, you don't have as much control as you think you do.
ඇත්තටම මගේ පියා කිව්වා වගේ අපිට කාලයක් අපි ගැනම අපි හිතන විදිහට නැහැ කියන්නේ.
You know, it's an illusion in the minds of so many people to believe that they have control when they really, really don't. Even the very breath in your body that you breathe every time, even that you have limited control over what happens with that. And even that you're borrowing. So if you're borrowing your breath, what makes you think you own or have anything else
here?
No, this life is a gift from God and we should treat it as such. And take Jesus at His word. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Okay, John chapter 16. And verse 31 says, Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay. You know, this life can be very interesting. Jesus, when God sent Jesus into this world, He sent Him into what would be a very difficult time. He sent Him into what would be a pressing experience. So Jesus coming out of the realm of spirit, out of a dimension where he wasn't weighed down by this body of flesh that we're in, He came and took on flesh here. And He experienced in Himself things that we experience. He experienced things like fatigue. He got tired. He got hungry. He went through times where everybody wanted to kill Him, and he went through something, the worst physical pain ever. So God willfully chose, it says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God, John chapter 3, God gave His Son, and His Son willfully said, Lord, Your will be done. So the Father gave, the Son went. And God put Himself in a hostile situation. God put Himself in a difficult place, in a difficult situation. And you know, something with Jesus, He knew that it was coming. So here in John 16, when he says, okay, the hour's here, it's already here. All you guys that have been with me and all a little while ago, all of you said you're going to die with me if there's a problem or something comes up, you're all going to leave me alone. You know, I think about that betrayal that Jesus would have experienced. One of his 12 that were close to him throughout everything would betray him. And the other 11, though they didn't betray him, they would all run away and leave him. Because they didn't want to have to deal with what it was that they saw about to happen to Jesus. And Jesus even here said, look, you guys may all leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. You know, that is one of the greatest blessings that we have for those of us that are alive in Christ Jesus. You know, there's that hymn, No, Never Alone. No, Never Alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Yes. No, never alone. God, He promised, go ye into all the world. He said, if for those that go in Matthew 28, He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. So we have that assurance in our heart. You have that. You and I have that. When we're in a difficult situation, when you stop and you bow your knee before the King of Kings, if you're walking with Him, you feel His presence. You feel the comforting of the Spirit of God. And even when you don't feel Him, He's still there. Because God doesn't want you to depend on your feelings, but He wants you to learn to trust in His Word. So Jesus speaking this word, so they understood as well, I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And we that would come after Jesus, we that would be called according to His name, would be able to say the same thing. No, I'm not alone. The Father's with me. I'm with the Father. Okay. Verse 33 says, and these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay, so in these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. The spiritual kingdom is an inner kingdom. We've talked about the Luke 17, 20, 21, how Jesus, when He was asked where the kingdom of God, it's within.
Luke 10, 20, 21,
So Jesus speaking the word to the people that would be there, He would say, look, I am speaking this to you that you might have peace. Okay, where does the peace of God come? Is the peace that Jesus offers an external peace, or is it a resolve that happens in your own heart? Because, see, the world is all talking about peace right now. How many people are talking about peace? Peace here, peace there. This country, my goodness, how many people talking about peace this and peace that? But when Jesus is speaking to them and He says, look, I'm speaking this word to you that in Me ye might have peace, what's the peace that Jesus is offering in this peace that He's speaking about? It's a peace that comes within. It's the peace that passes all understanding. For example, in this nation, there may be a cessation of hostilities. People may stop shooting each other. But there is no peace without Jesus. Why? Because even if people stop shooting each other, within their hearts, there is still all the bitterness, all of the anger, all of the resentment, all of the racism, all of the hatred that is there festering in someone. And all it takes is the circumstances to change just a little bit, and you will see all of that come out and people killing each other all over again. But when a person comes into connection with their Creator, when Jesus Christ fills a person's life and heart, what happens is the way is made for peace to be had within. The way is made for you to be able to forgive the world. Do you realize we need to do that? That we need to forgive the entire world for all the stuff that's happened. So when somebody's like, oh, Prabhakaran this and Mahinda that and the America this and Europe this. Yeah? When people are all pointing fingers all over the place. You know, Jesus gives you the power within to forgive all. The power within to forgive your family. The power within to forgive those that hurt you if you were a child and something happened. Jesus gives the power within to make peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. But the peace that He gives within is different than the peace that the world is seeking without. See, the world is trying to find some kind of peace without the Prince of Peace. That's like trying to go to the beach by going to New Relia. You'll never find it. Why? If you go to the hill country, you'll never find the beach. So they can never find, no one can ever find a lasting peace without Christ. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the only one that allows you the ability to make peace also with the world, but also with yourself. You know, people, a lot of people hate themselves. Yeah, I found that. I found that out, that there's a lot of people that hate themselves. They hate themselves for decisions that they've made. They hate themselves for patterns that they're stuck in, stupid choices that they continue to do. They believe certain lies that the devil has fed them about themselves, and they then believe that that's what they are and they hate themselves. And so they're at war even with themselves. Because they hate themselves, they hate everybody else too. So they're just very angry, bitter people. And I think sometimes that's why they lash out at the people that walk with Christ, because they see somebody that's not in that and they hate that too. But the Prince of Peace, when He comes into our hearts, one thing that He also does is He enables us to forgive ourselves. So He forgives us, and when we receive that forgiveness, we then in turn forgive ourselves and this entire world for all that it is. Yes, there's a lot of things that are not right. Yes, there's a lot of things that if we can do something to help make it better and God leads us to do it, yes, we help. So we do get involved as the Spirit of God leads us. But it's the Prince of Peace that comes into our hearts that enables us to for this whole thing to stop. See, without that peace within, without that stop, to this entire cycle continues over and over and over again. We recently had that the human trafficking initiative, and one thing when they were talking about these pedophiles that come, that so many of these guys, they were abused and then they continued the abuse. They go abuse someone else. So they were hurt and then they hurt someone else. Because someone else needs to feel the same pain that I felt. Someone else should share the grief, right? And you know, the problem is there comes a point where and this is a miracle, is when Jesus Christ comes into a person's life and his heart. That new nature that he gives to a person. When Jesus was going even up onto the cross, and even at that time when he was being abused and hurt, even in that situation, at that time, he was able to say, Lord, forgive them, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. You know, people don't know what they're doing when they hurt and they lash out at others. They're responding out of programming that's in their flesh. They're responding out of the world that they've sold themselves into. They're responding a certain way. But if they had an eternal perspective, if they could see things even 100 years from now, how different they would change the way that they would respond to everyone here. There's so many people that have died and gone on that at this point wish they could come back and do it differently. But you and I are here. You and I are here right now in this life, breathing the breath of God. You, even when we, you know, the Hebrew name for God is Yahweh. So even when you breathe, it's Yahweh, Yahweh. Even when you breathe, if you just breathe and heard the sound, you'd hear God's own name coming out in the breath that you breathe. So, you're here by God's design. And you're here in a difficult situation. No arguing about that whatsoever. All of us are here at this time, in this place, in what is a difficult situation. If you belong to the Lord, you will be a target, you will be something that gets shot at, you will be something that the spirits of the world system will come at you over and again. And this will be part of your reality while you're here in this world. So Ephesians 6 talked about us being in a spiritual war. And you have to prepare yourself for that. Whether you like it or not, you're in it. Okay. Okay, so knowing that you're in a spiritual war, you and I must prepare ourselves. How much preparation went in on both sides of the conflict that was going on in this country all the time? For 26 years, did they ever take a break? 27 years, something. Yeah, long time. People fighting continuously. And you and I, we even get attacked in our dreams. You'll be dreaming and you'll be warring and. So you're in the middle of a very hostile environment. But Jesus desires that we be here. In John 17, he said in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. See, so many people want to get out. But the issue is, if you get out, then what good are you to everybody else that needs the help and to God's plan and purpose in here? He wants you to be involved in what's taking place in this reality. And He also wants you to come into the fullness and the measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to become that reflection of Him. So there is an instruction that comes for us. As we follow in the footsteps of Christ Jesus, as we walk as disciples on the way, and we're following the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, so when He speaks a word, we go with that word and we follow Him. We know out of that process that in this world we will have trouble, we will experience tribulation. Back to John 16, verse 33. Jesus, in the second part of that verse, or actually just verse 33, says, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So it's not just a, okay, we're going to make it, sort of, kind of, you know, it's be of, there's a joy that we have in this. There's a joy that we have that's again a manifestation of the Spirit of God in us. We can be put in any situation, in any place, and the Spirit of God will take us through if you hold on to Him. And sometimes you may not feel like you can take another step.
Tava idiri adiya kiyanna bæ kiyene hitena aakare thiyena apitula e wage situwin
But even if you're in that situation, if you have to stop and wait on the Lord, okay, just don't go back. Because there's nothing back there for you. And you've come too far. You've come too far with Jesus to go back. If you have to stop, stop and then think about what He's brought you through so far. Let that encourage your heart. So even like when Nelson was talking earlier, we stop as even today and we realize, wow, God protected this place. And so even if we're in the middle of a difficult time, even if there's some kind of attack, whatever it may be, we can stop and say, God is with us because we see His hand. Now we see God's hand in it, but we also realize that God put us in the difficult situation. Now you need to grab this. We need to grab hold of this. Jesus Christ was put in the difficult situation of having to go to the cross. In John chapter 6, Jesus put His disciples in the boat to go across into what would become a storm. In Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord gives a vision of a man from Macedonia to Paul and Silas. They say, oh gosh, God wants us to go over there. And they end up being put, by carrying out their ministry, being put in prison. So in following the will of God, in following the way that the Spirit of God is leading them, this is just three of how many examples throughout Scripture? So in this world, you will have trouble. Okay. There's two kinds of trouble that you can have in this world. The first kind is if you are walking with Christ and you're on the way with Him and He leads you into a situation and you experience tribulation. Okay, this is a good kind of trouble. Because the difficulties that you experience in that situation, the tribulation, one, it's not going to last forever. Two, there's eternal benefits that are coming out of going into that situation. And three, by you going through that experience, you have a greater depth and a greater connection with the Father. You know Him even more as a result of having gone through that with Him. Now the second kind of trouble that people experience is the one that you get when you've rejected Christ and gone the way of the world. You've bowed your knee to the world system and not to the King of Kings. That tribulation, that difficulty that people experience is very horrible. But why? Okay, one, there's no benefit in it at all. You're just receiving a consequence for a choice made in rebellion to God. And the suffering that comes from that line, it goes on and on and on and on. So for us, everyone in this life experiences tribulation. Everyone in this life, they all suffer. But if you suffer for being part of the world and the world system, that is the stupidest suffering you can have, because there's no benefit and it never stops. They might get a small window of time where they get a little trinket for their soul, or they get something, just a little break, but then it goes on. Whereas for the children of God, when we bow our knee before the King and when we receive, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, the difficulties that we experience are for a short time. And those difficulties that we experience are refining us and are molding us. God is even allowing those things to work together for the good of us that are called according to His purpose. That is the Romans 8:28. God is causing those things to work together for our good. Because they refine us, and they're used even by God to reveal His image in us. So back to verse 33 in chapter 16 of John. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, there's one instruction, three-part instruction, but it's one that's given to every person, every church, throughout the ages that's ever existed in the world. To him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, and to him that overcomes. So, to the individual, you and I are on a specific individual walk with Christ Jesus. It's not a group walk, it's an individual walk, your heart before Him walking with the Son of God.
Somebody got
And God wants you to be able to hear what His Spirit is speaking and for you as an individual to take that word and to run with it. But every person is instructed to him who overcomes. And we are an overcoming people. One thing that's a remarkable quality about the people of God is we are an overcoming people. The way that we overcome is we remain in Him and His words remain in us. And every step that we take is a step led by the Spirit of God. And if it was not for Him and His power flowing through us, we would have been finished a long time ago. Because in us, in our flesh, even as Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. So the need that we have is to yield ourselves to the flow of the Spirit of God through us, and that flow is what does everything. Because all the good that happens is then a free flow of the Spirit of God, rivers of living water flowing through you. And we yield to that. So we will experience oppression. Understand that, but also realize that all you have to do is call on Him. Call on Him in the time of trial, in the time of tribulation. He will be with you. And that prayer can be as simple as just Jesus. Just Yahweh. Lord, I'm here. Help me, show me. Because I want to keep walking with you. And He is close. He is close to those that call on Him. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He's right there. And the time is up, so I'll stop there for today.